and even Sir Lancelot and the damosel beheld them. Alas, said the damosel, my knight fighteth passing sore and overlong. Now may ye see, said Sir Lancelot, that he is a noble knight, for to consider his first battle and his grievous wounds, and even forthwithal, so wounded as he is, it is marvel that he may endure this long battle with that good knight. Chapter 8. How La Cote Male Taile was taken prisoner, and after rescued by Sir Lancelot, and how Sir Lancelot overcame four brethren. This meanwhile Sir La Cote Male Taile sank right down upon the earth, what for wounded and what for bled he might not stand. Then the other knight had pity on him and said, Fair young knight, dismay you not, for had ye been fresh when ye met with me, as I was, I wot well that I should not have endured so long as ye have done. And therefore, for your noble deeds of arms, I shall show to you kindness and gentleness in all that I may. And forthwithal this noble knight, Sir Plenorius, took him up in his arms and led him into his tower. And then he commanded him with wine and made to search him and to stop his bleeding wounds. Sir, said La Cote Male Taile, withdraw you from me and hie you to yonder bridge again, for there will meet with you another manner knight than ever was I. Why, said Plenorius, is there another manner knight behind of your fellowship? Yea, said La Cote Male Taile, there is a much better knight than I am. What is his name? Said Plenorius. Page 396. Ye shall not know for me, said La Cote Male Taile. Well, said the knight, he shall be encountered with all, whatsoever he be. Then Sir Plenorius heard a knight call that said, Sir Plenorius, where art thou? Other thou must deliver me the prisoner that thou hast led into thy tower, or else come and do battle with me. Then Plenorius gat his horse and came with a spear in his hand, walloping toward Sir Lancelot. And then they began to feutre their spears and came together as thunder and smote either other so mightily that their horses fell down under them. And then they avoided their horses and pulled out their swords, and like two bulls they lashed together with great strokes and foins. But ever Sir Lancelot recovered ground upon him, and Sir Plenorius traced to have gone about him. But Sir Lancelot would not suffer that, but bare him backer and backer till he came nigh his tower gate. And then said Sir Lancelot, I know thee well for a good knight, but wit thou well thy life and death is in my hand, and therefore yield thee to me of thy prisoner. The other answered no word, but struck mightily upon Sir Lancelot's helm, that the fire sprang out of his eye. Then Sir Lancelot doubled his strokes so thick, and smote at him so mightily, that he made him kneel upon his knees, and therewith Sir Lancelot leapt upon him, and pulled him grovelling down. Then Sir Plenorius yielded him, and his tower, and all his prisoners at his will. Then Sir Lancelot received him, and took his troth. And then he rode to the other bridge, and there Sir Lancelot jousted with other three of his brethren, the one hight Pilunus, and the other hight Pelogris, and the third Sir Palandris. And first upon horseback Sir Lancelot smote them down, and afterward he beat them on foot, and made them to yield them unto him. And then he returned under Sir Plenorius, and there he found in his prison King Carados of Scotland, and many other knights, and all they were delivered. Page 397. And then Sir La Cote Male Taile came to Sir Lancelot, and then Sir Lancelot would have given him all these fortresses and these bridges. Nay, said La Cote Male Taile, I will not have Sir Plenorius's livelihood. With that he will grant you, my lord Sir Lancelot, to come upon King Arthur's court, and to be his knight and all his brethren. I will pray you, my lord, to let him have his livelihood. I will well, said Sir Lancelot, with this, that he will come to the court of King Arthur and become his man and his brethren five. And as for you, Sir Plenorius, I will undertake, said Sir Lancelot, at the next feast, so there be a place voided, that ye shall be knight of the Round Table. Sir, said Plenorius, at the next feast of Pentecost I will be at Arthur's court, and at that time I will be guided and ruled as King Arthur, and ye will have me. Then Sir Lancelot and Sir La Cote Male Taile reposed them there unto the time that Sir La Cote Male Taile was whole of his wounds, and there they had merry cheer and good rest and many good games, and there were many fair ladies. page 398. Chapter 9. How Sir Lancelot made La Cote Male Taile lord of the castle of Pendragon, and after was made knight of the Round Table. And in the meanwhile came Sir Kay the seneschal and Sir Brandiles, and anon they fellowshipped with them. And then within 10 days they departed those knights of Arthur's court from these fortresses. And as Sir Lancelot came by the castle of Pendragon, there he put Sir Brian de la Isles from his lands, for cause he would never be withhold with King Arthur. And all that castle of Pendragon, and all the lands thereof, he gave to Sir La Cote Male Taile. And then Sir Lancelot sent for Nerovens, that he made once knight, and he made him to have all the rule of that castle and of that country under La Cote Male Taile, and so they rode to Arthur's court all wholly together. And at Pentecost next following, there was Sir Plenorius and Sir La Cote Male Taile, called otherwise by right Sir Pounor Lanois, both made knights of the Table Round, and great lands King Arthur gave them. And there Bruinor Lenoir wedded the damosel Maledisant, and after she was called Beau Vivant, but ever after for the more part he was called La Cote Male Taile, and he proved a passing noble knight, and mighty and many worshipful deeds he did after in his life. And Sir Plenorius proved a noble knight and full of prowess, and all the days of their life for the most part they awaited upon Sir Lancelot. And Sir Plenorius' brethren were ever knights of King Arthur, and also, as the French book maketh mention, Sir La Cote Male Taile avenged his father's death. Chapter 10. How La Beale Isoud sent letters to Sir Tristram by her maid Bragwaine, and of divers adventures of Sir Tristram. Now leave we here Sir La Cote Male Taile, and turn we unto Sir Tristram de Lyonesse that was in Brittany. When La Beale Isoud understood that he was wedded, she sent to him by her maid Bragwaine as piteous letters as could be thought and made, and her conclusion was that, and it pleased Sir Tristram, that he would come to her court and bring with him Isoud La Blanche Mains, and they should be kept as well as she herself. Then Sir Tristram called unto him Sir Kehydius, and asked him whether he would go with him into Cornwall secretly. He answered them that he was ready at all times. And then he led ordain privily a little vessel, and therein they went, Sir Tristram, Kehydius, Dame Bragwaine, and Gouvernail, Sir Tristram's squire. Page 399. So when they were in the sea, a contrarious wind blew them on the coast of North Wales, nigh the Castle Perilous. Then said Sir Tristram, Here shall ye abide me these 10 days, and Gouvernail my squire with you, and if so be I come not again by that day, take the next way into Cornwall. For in this forest are many strange adventures, as I have heard say, and some of them I cast me to prove, or I depart, and when I may, I shall hie me after you. Then Sir Tristram and Kehydius took their horses and departed from their fellowship, and so they rode within that forest a mile and more, and at the last Sir Tristram saw afore him a likely knight armed sitting by a well, and a strong mighty horse passing nigh him, tied to an oak, and a man hoving and riding by him, leading an horse laid with spears. And this knight that sat at the well seemed by his countenance to be passing heavy. Then Sir Tristram rode near him and said, Fair knight, why sit ye so drooping? Ye seem to be a knight errant by your arms and harness, and therefore dress you to joust with one of us, or with both. Therewithal that knight made no words, but took his shield, and buckled it about his neck, and lightly he took his horse and leapt upon him. And then he took a great spear of his squire, and departed his way a furlong. Sir Kehydius asked leave of Sir Tristram to joust first. Do your best, said Sir Tristram. So they met together, and there Sir Kehydius had a fall, and was sore wounded on high above the paps. Then Sir Tristram said, Knight, that is well jousted. Now make you ready unto me. I am ready, said the knight, and then that knight took a greater spear in his hand, and encountered with Sir Tristram, and there by great force that knight smote down Sir Tristram from his horse, and had a great fall. Then Sir Tristram was sore ashamed, and lightly he avoided his horse, and put his shield afore his shoulder, and drew his sword. And then Sir Tristram required that knight of his knighthood to alight upon foot and fight with him. "I will well," said the knight, and so he alit upon foot and avoided his horse and cast his shield upon his shoulder and drew his sword, and there they fought a long battle together full nigh 2 hours. Then Sir Tristram said, "Fair knight, hold thine hand and tell me of whence thou art and what is thy name." "As for that," said the knight, "I will be advised, but an thou wilt tell me thy name peradventure, I will tell thee mine." Page 400. Chapter 11. How Sir Tristram met with Sir Lamorack de Gales, and how they fought, and after accorded never to fight together. "Now, fair knight," he said, "my name is Sir Tristram de Lyonnais." "Sir," said the other knight, "and my name is Sir Lamorack de Gales." "Ah, Sir Lamorack," said Sir Tristram, "well be we met, and bethink thee now of the despite thou didst me of the sending of the horn unto King Mark's court, to the intent to have slain or dishonored my lady the queen, La Beale Isoud. And therefore, wit thou well," said Sir Tristram, "the one of us shall die or we depart." "Sir," answered Lamorack, "remember that we were together in the Isle of Servage, and at that time ye promised me great friendship." Then Sir Tristram would make no longer delays, but lashed at Sir Lamorack, and thus they fought long, till either were weary of other. Then Sir Tristram said to Sir Lamorack, "In all my life met I never with such a knight that was so big and well-breathed as ye be. Therefore," said Sir Tristram, "it were pity that any of us both should here be mischieved." "Sir," said Sir Lamorack, "for your renown and name, I will that ye have the worship of this battle, and therefore I will yield me unto you." And therewith he took the point of his sword to yield him. Page 401. "Nay," said Sir Tristram, "ye shall not do so, for well I know your proffers and more of your gentleness than for my fear or dread ye have of me." And therewithal Sir Tristram proffered him his sword and said, "Sir Lamorack, as an overcommon knight, I yield me unto you as to a man of the most noble prowess that ever I met withal." "Nay," said Sir Lamorack, "I will do you gentleness. I require you let us be sworn together that never none of us shall after this day have ado with other." And therewithal Sir Tristram and Sir Lamorack swear that never none of them should fight against other, nor for weal, nor for woe.